this kind of experience are those that are doing ministry. If you are a businessman, God may not really be so concerned about you. But if you are into ministry, Kai. Because he knows that every wrong you do will seep in to your audience. And those your audience, they will become much more willing to do better than you in whatever error that you have committed. Can we give thanks to God that we pray and he answers? Can we give thanks to God?
But I will give you thanks. We give thanks to God.
Can we give thanks to God?
Thanks to God. He answers to prayers. We are grateful to God.
Can we give thanks to God?
He answers to prayers.
The Bible, speaking of King Saul, he said that God will not speak to him either through a prophet, either through Urim and Thummim, or through a dream. God shut Saul out. The guy will pray, God, oh my goodness. Glory. Thank God that I can pray and God answers. Blessed be the name of God. In Jesus' name, we pray.
Amen.
Or rather, give thanks. Mighty God, we say thank you for tonight. Thank you because we can lift up our voice unto thee, the living God. And you doth hear us. We pray that you will shape us, that you will mold us to be continuously broken in your sight. Lest we wander off in the way of perdition. The Bible, speaking of Judas Iscariot, he said he wept, but that his sorrow could not lead him into the depth of repentance. I wonder how Judas Iscariot would have cried that cry. But yeah, God will not answer. Jesus, speaking of Judas Iscariot, he said it were better if he was not born. There was no prayer you could pray for Judas Iscariot after what he did. That God, no prayer. I know that you've read in the Bible that whatsoever the church binds on it, what they bind on it, don't forget, it will be bound in heaven. So the church does something on earth and God is doing the same in heaven. What if the church is doing it on earth and God refused to do it in heaven? What will the church on earth do? There is no amount of prayer that you can pray for Judas Iscariot. Jesus spoke ahead of time. He said it were better if he was not born. He cried and he wept. But his weeping and everything could not amount to repentance and justification through Christ Jesus. I mean, while we had a man on the right hand of the cross, I said, remember me in your kingdom. And that guy got a free pass. But the one that followed Jesus for 3.5 years, that Jesus taught, Jesus anointed, Jesus empowered, Jesus fed him. That one, the guy prayed, a point came. He prayed, that prayer was no longer heard in heaven. Peter almost did the same thing. The Bible said Jesus told Peter. He said, the enemy has thought to sift you like a wheat, but I have prayed for you. That prayer you are praying that is answering is because Jesus prayed that same prayer. That's why he's answering. Because it is only in Christ Jesus we are accepted. What if you prayed and Jesus did not pray that prayer? You think God will answer? Because you are something to reckon with, because you are a giant, you know, you pray in tongue. And whatever you pray on earth, if Jesus does not pray it in heaven, you will just be standing on empty words. Jesus said, but I have prayed for you. You didn't pray, but I pray for you. Mighty God, we say thank you. Mm-hmm. We have spoken about prayer at length. And the only confidence that we have in our speaking in tongue as a means of prayer is because Jesus is praying the same for us. Thank you, Almighty God. In Jesus' name, we pray. Kindly welcome someone to tonight's meeting in the name of Jesus. You are welcome. Salutation. In Jesus' name, we salute. Amen. So yesterday, we looked at the tributaries of power. And as a bonus point, we said that every speaking is as a result of an inward knowing. We said one of the tributaries of power, that the essence of the Holy Ghost is not baptismal certificate, but that what you receive amounts to power. And we said one of the tributary of power is boldness. And the second point we were able to look upon last night was utterance. Today, I want us to look at the scope of the Holy Ghost. And then once we are able to capture that in our discourse, we now look at the fact. Fact in respect to, or you can call it, eligibility of the Holy Ghost. Who is eligible to be baptized of the Holy Ghost? The first portion will look upon the scope of the Holy Ghost. And in the part B, we will look at the eligibility of Holy Ghost baptism. Let's quickly open our Bible to the book of Acts of the Apostles, chapter 1. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 1, verse 8. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 1, verse 8. What is the scope of the Holy Ghost? Verse 8, the Bible says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. The scope of the Holy Ghost that God has given you is territorial. Is territorial. Is not localized. Let's just look upon the scripture. Let's break a little part of it and then just bring understanding. What does the Bible mean by the uttermost part of the earth? The uttermost part of the earth are those portions of the earth that are inaccessible by any means of modern transportation. They are not accessible by any means of modern transportation. So you have to reach there by foot. And I said that if you read your Bible very well, you will realize that one uttermost part of the earth from the scripture is the land of Ethiopia. Because, and we knew that because Jesus said that in the days of Solomon, that the queen of the east came to hear of the wisdom of Solomon. That was how far the wisdom of Solomon traveled. So the scope of the Holy Ghost that God has given you is territorial. It's not local. And if you check the sequence of this state that Jesus was mentioning, it started gradually from Jerusalem to Judea. So it went from inside the city to the outskirts of the city, and then to other cities, and eventually to nationalities that are outside of the region of Israel. And what that means is that there is growth in the anointing that God gives you. But the scope of that anointing, the ultimate scope of that anointing, is territorial, is not local. Anytime you see a pastor, and I'm telling you this by experience, anytime you see a pastor that is struggling, that there is no glory in what he's doing, it is because the Holy Ghost, the level of Holy Ghost that is operating is local. So everything that will be befalling him, are whatever are the maladies of that place where he is. Anytime you see a pastor that is struggling, and I mean a minister of God that is struggling, that is looking like the problem that is in his vicinity, it is because he has localized the Holy Ghost that is given to him. Because Jesus said of the wisdom of Solomon that the queen of the east, the things Solomon was doing in Jerusalem, someone from the east heard it, because he had this consciousness that what he has received is not only for the children of Israel, it was to guide an entire civilization. And I've seen sincere pastors that are suffering. There is no glory. In fact, you will see them, and because of them, you will not want to do ministry. It's global. The Holy Ghost that is given to you is territorial, is not local, is not confined to your local church. The expression of the Holy Ghost that is given unto you, even though it is in a mission, is not confined to the operations of your local church. Now, whatever you are not seeing in your local church means that it is not available in God. No. If you are not seeing a certain manifestation of the Holy Ghost in your local church, it is because your local church has not yet opened, their heart is not yet large, as touching upon the expanse of the body of Christ. That's why you see, God have mercy on me, pastors that are shortchanging one another. You will be shortchanging one because you think that what you have been given is local. You have not yet brandished the power that is given unto you so that it can spread out to the territory. And I want to show you from scripture that you can actually localize the Holy Ghost that is given to you. Let's look at the same book of Acts, chapter 1. Look at it from verse 6. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, will thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? Jesus was speaking about the Holy Ghost, and the best they could make out of the power that the Holy Ghost wield is that this Holy Ghost can only do something for Israel, the Jewish problem. That we, because of this power that you are now introducing, is it that this power is what you want to use to restore the kingdom to Israel? Just like some of us here, you have confined the operation of the Holy Ghost to family problem. For the apostle, it was a political problem. Jesus was talking about reaching to the nations. The apostles, their mind was so twisted that they were thinking about Jerusalem, Israel, and that whatever Holy Ghost does not do in Israel means that Holy Ghost is incompetent. Some of us there are some people that are squandering the measure of the Holy Ghost that they have received only on family problem. Anytime there is a family problem, that's when they are praying in tongues. But when there is no family problem, they are relaxed. They are at ease. All right, glory, glory. They are a normal Christian. But once they say, hey, something has happened to your mama. Something is happening to your brother. You say, ah, rabaka, shubalaka, shubalaka. You have limited the operation of the Holy Ghost to be solving family problem. Just like the apostles, they thought the Holy Ghost came to solve their political problem. But Jesus was talking about conquering nations. The apostles thought that when you receive the Holy Ghost, when you have received this power, that this power, you will use this power at your discretion. That is, you can develop an objective for the power that you have been given. That is, when you have received power on account of the Holy Ghost, then you will now say, okay, what I want to use this power to solve now is. But what they don't know is that power that you are receiving was given to you to solve a certain problem even before it was given to you. It's not you that will determine the problem that will be resolved. It is God that will determine it. And if you read the book of Psalm 110, he said, thou shalt set the rod of thy strength out of Zion. Thy people shall be willing in the days of thy power. Rule thou in the midst of your enemy. That was the day of Pentecost in the Old Testament, according to the perception of David the prophet. That something will come from heaven, and what that thing came to facilitate on earth is a subjecting of everything under everything under the feet of our Lord Jesus. Not political problem, not family problem, but everything. The operation of the Holy Ghost in your life is territorial. Don't limit him to political problem. Don't limit him to family problem. Don't limit him to marital problem. Don't limit him. Don't confine him to financial problem. When people lose their job, that's when they are not praying in tongues. That's when they are not looking for power, because they want to use the power to get another job. Twist people whose mind are twisted. I believe we've been able to get that point. The scope is territorial. And when I mean territorial, I mean it is global. It is global. You can be saying something here, and what you are saying is finding resonation. Resonation in another country, in far place. Don't create an audience for yourself. Allow God to give you an audience. And wherever he says your voice will go, that's where you should go. Not where you want to be heard. Holy Ghost is not a redeem something. Holy Ghost is not a deeper life thing. All this Pentecostal, evangelical, Holy Ghost is not a denominational thing. It came to rule in the midst of the enemy of Christ. So don't allow your mind to be twisted. That our church is our own church. We operate in more power than. Well, glory be to God for your church. But Holy Ghost did not come to run your church alone. He came to take over the whole earth. Now, I believe we've been able to do justice briefly to that point. Part B. What is the eligibility of Holy Ghost baptism? Number one, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, there is no age discrimination. That someone is 50 years, he is 60 years, there is no age limit to who can be baptized of the Holy Ghost. And I'm saying this because of those of us that will be on the field of operation. So that you know, say, okay, this man is already old, you know, he's old, so the Holy Ghost is not for him. Let's open our Bible to the book of Acts of the Apostle, chapter 1, verse 15. Acts of the Apostle, chapter 1, verse 15. Okay, I'm coming. I think that I did not get that scripture well. I'm coming. Okay, Acts of the Apostle, chapter 1, verse 14. Let's go. The Bible says there is no age discrimination to the Holy Ghost baptism. Acts of the Apostle, chapter 1, verse 14. The Bible says this all continued, that is the apostles. They all continue with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. The person I want you to look at, so according to the Bible, the mother of Jesus was among those that the Holy Ghost filled on the day of Pentecost. As at this time, let's assume that Mary, the mother of Jesus, she was betrothed to Joseph at the age of, say, 18 years. And she got to see Jesus live for 33.5 years. If you add that to her age, that will give us around that. If you add 33 and a half years, that is how long that Jesus lived upon the surface of the earth. 33, let's just use 33 years. If you add 33 to 18, how many years is that? 51. That means Mary, the mother of Jesus, was 51 years as at this time. She was 51 years. And she was among And she also received Holy Ghost baptism. That's what I'm telling you. At 51 years. There is no age discrimination to Holy Ghost baptism. There has been that question in the church, that can a little child of 10 years be baptized of the Holy Ghost? Children are different. There is a child that, if he doesn't get 18 years, his head will not be properly correct. And there are children who have been brought up in God, that at the age of 10, they are praying in tongue. And that tongue is not what they learned from their father. It is because of an inward knowing. And they do that fluently. There is no age discrimination. The mother of Jesus was 51 years as at this time. Number two, there is no class discrimination. Let's open to the book of Joel chapter 2 verse 29 quickly. Joel chapter 2 verse 29. You find Joel after the book of Daniel. After the book of Daniel, Uzziah, Hosea, that is after Ezekiel. After Ezekiel, you find Joel. Joel chapter 2, verse 29. Let's start from verse 28. The Bible says, and it shall come to pass afterward that I'll pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions. Verse 29, which is my point of emphasis, and also upon the servant and upon the handmaid, in those days will I pour out my spirit. When I mean there is no class discrimination, I mean social class. Class came about as a result of financial empowerment. In fact, if you study the book of Joel chapter 2 very well, you will see that the groupings that God was saying he was going to baptize with the Holy Ghost is a social class. It's not a spiritual class. In fact, it's a social class that God is looking to upgrade to become a spiritual class. Because anytime you hear servants and handmaids, servants and handmaids don't become servant by choice. It's as a result of different level of financial empowerment. And if you read the book of James, that is where you will know that. According to James, James said, we should not give regard to a rich man. Just because he is rich, we will now start pampering him, treating him differently from those that are not as financially empowered as he is. Because in Christ Jesus, there is neither bond nor free. Everybody is taking the same. So because someone is poor, that's what I'm telling you. A poor man is eligible for Holy Ghost baptism. Because in Christ, we are all the same. Christ wants to fill everything, whether you are poor or you are rich. So don't see a rich man on the field of operation and say, Kai, see money. Hey, he's already baptized. He needs to baptize me. May you not worship money in Jesus' name. I remember our father of faith, Pastor Iyadeboye, he said a rich man once called him to his house one day. And in fact, the rich man told him that everything that was used to build his house was imported. Everything. With the exception of the sand. Every other thing, they imported it. Every other thing. Our father of faith, he said, when he saw the mansion that the man built, he almost wanted to worship the things and say, Kai, what prayer can, what more prayer can you pray for this one now? There is no prayer to pray for this man. He is fulfilled. Sorry. But later he found out that the man has been coping with a problem for which he needs the manifestation of the Holy Ghost. There is no class discrimination in the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Whether you are poor, whether you are a servant or you are a maid, or you are free, you are a son, or you are, everybody is eligible for Holy Ghost baptism, irrespective of your financial empowerment. C, there is no gender discrimination. You can still see that in the book of Acts of the Apostles, chapter 1, verse 15. The Bible says, the Bible began by listing in verse 14, the apostles mentioned the names of all the apostles who are all made. And then the Bible went on to mention the other women. Let's look at it. No gender discrimination. You find that in the book of Acts, chapter 1, verse 15. Let's look at it. Let's look at the kind of people that are in that quorum. Coming. Okay, verse 14. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 1, verse 14. The Bible says, this all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. My emphasis there is with the women. It's not with the woman, but with the women. These women were none other than, you know, it is Luke that wrote the book of Acts of the Apostles. So he has written a gospel that captured the women. And that's why he didn't need to mention their name. And these women are none other than those women that ministered unto Christ Jesus in the days of his flesh, of which one of them was the wife of a public servant. That's the wife of Chusa. And then you have Mary Magdalene, you have Martha, and you have a host of other women. So it's not just, you have those women. So Jesus knows, all right, you see, this Holy Ghost thing is for men alone, is men thing, you know, is for men. No. There is no gender discrimination for Holy Ghost baptism. And that's why also in the book of Joel chapter 2, God speaking, say, we pour out his spirit upon your sons and your daughters, not your sons alone, not your men alone, but your sons and your daughters. No gender discrimination in Holy Ghost baptism. Oh, women should not climb pulpit. Now you talk that one, no. If you've seen the writings of Apostle Paul, you will see when he was saluting women, Aquila and Priscilla. Those two people were the persons that educated men like Apollos. The one that educated Apollos, husband and wife. The husband and wife that were doing ministry, and that is very rare to find husband and wife that God has given the same ministry. It's not that the woman married and met the man in ministry and then she submitted. This one is that God gave them the same ministry and they are doing the same ministry. They were the one that educated and upgraded the spirit of Apollos. The same Apollos that Apostle Paul equated in labor with himself. He said, I water. He said, I plant and Apollos waters. There is no gender discrimination. Pulpit is not a main thing, please. Because you stand upon the pulpit and you have utterance, it is because, it's not because you prayed, it's because Jesus is praying for you. So how do you know that Jesus is not praying for women? That is only you that is praying for. It's only men that is praying for. And it will interest you to know that the first person that had an encounter with our Lord Jesus after resurrection was a woman. The men were, they don't even believe. Oh, I can imagine Mary was weeping. She was weeping. Oh my goodness. They've taken my Lord. If it is a man that was in that garden, he said, well, now that Jesus is dead, you know what Peter said? He said, I go fishing. Jesus is dead now. So I want to return back to my civil business. You know, he's dead now. We need to make money. My wife is at home. I have wife, I have children. They no born me join ministry. Now Jesus got ministry. They no born me join ministry. Oh, Mary was still lingering around at the sepulchre. They've taken my Lord. Where have you taken him? Because she thought the person she was talking to was a gardener, not knowing that it was the Lord Jesus. But when people like Peter will respond, they went back to fishing. He didn't hang around for you. He has been thinking about his fishing net for a long time. That with all these teachings, this financial empowerment, you know, the Holy Ghost can about finances, but he will never allow you to exercise it, because that is not for you. It's for those that are behind. It's for your audience. So Jesus has been teaching them to believe, have faith in God. Remember ye not when I fed 5,000 with 5 loaves and fed 6,000 with 4 loaves? So Peter remembered that financial empowerment sermon. He said, Kai, now that he is dead, this is the best time to use that teaching on the high seas and make some money. But you know, because Jesus has prayed for him, Jesus still went looking for him. That teaching is not for you. It's for the people that you'll be leading. So come back to the field of labor. And by the time Jesus was done with Peter, in the book of Acts of the Apostles, Peter said he doesn't have silver or gold. That financial empowerment sermon did not work for him, but he worked for others. In fact, the church, through people like Barnabas, the church prospered financially, but people like Peter and they prospered in prayer and ministration of the word. We'll look upon that topic some other time. And that topic is that when God dispenses his spirit, what does he give a minister and what does he give the audience? So that as a minister, you can know what to expect from God. And you will not start pursuing financial empowerment when he is offering you prayer and ministry. He's giving you teachings that teach about this. And you are looking for 1 million that somebody will give you because you think that is in money that God will answer your prayer. That money is the answer to prayer. No, for a minister, it will be teachings. He will give you one topic and say, go and develop, oh yeah, teach about this. It's when you teach it, that's when money will now come. All right, let's move on. So, no gender discrimination. D. No race or tribe discrimination. I don't think we need to speak so much about this. That's in the book of Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2, verse 8. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2, verse 8. I think I'm enjoying tonight. The Bible says, and how hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born, verse 9. Persians and Medes and Elamites and dwellers in Mesopotamia and so on and so forth. So it doesn't matter your tribe, it doesn't matter your race, There is no race or tribe discrimination. You will know Holy Ghost is not in politics when you see that when a northern man becomes president, most of the staff become not. Holy Ghost does not do things like that. In fact, he prides himself in diversity so that no man will lay hold on his workings and say, Yoruba is the way. No. No race or tribe discrimination. Another scripture is the book of Acts of the Apostles, chapter 10, verse 45. Remember Cornelius, a Gentile? Yeah. And I think we have come to the end of tonight's session. Brethren, if you are not younger than Mary, the mother of Jesus, and you are not praying in tongues, you just know tonight that that problem is not the Holy Ghost problem. It is your own problem. It is you that have not yet opened your mouth so that the Holy Ghost can give you utterance. It's not that the Holy Ghost is not sufficient to you. It's not because you are too young or you are too old. The problem is not with the Holy Ghost. The problem is with you. Jehovah is your name. Jehovah is your name. Mighty warrior. Great in battle, Jehovah is your name. Your presence is heaven to me. Your presence is heaven to me. Oh Jesus, your presence is heaven to me. Can we begin to give thanks to God for tonight's meeting? Oh Jesus, I can't hear your voice. Your presence is heaven to me. Oh Jesus, your presence is heaven to me. Your presence is heaven to us. Your presence is heaven to us. Your presence is heaven to me. Can we begin to give thanks to God? Can we begin to give thanks to God for tonight? For these 5 days of Pentecost, can we give thanks to God? For the teachings, the light that he has imparted upon our spirit, can we give thanks to God? You know, for a while now, I've been telling you that there is one particular teaching that's what I just delivered tonight. So God made the first to become the last. He made the first topic to become the last. And I love it this way. so that in the end it will be him that will be glorified. Because it is not me that will answer your prayer. If I do all my teachings, I will not be the one to answer your prayer, because it is because he's praying. That is why even my own prayer is being answered. And I'm finally in love today. I am yours. Living waters, living stream, blessed spirit, take over me. Living waters, living stream, blessed spirit, take over us. Living waters, living stream, blessed spirit, take over me. You would think that the teachings of tonight is as a result of so much labor. No, it's as a result of the mileage that I have gained prior to this time. I can tell you that throughout today, I've not been able to sit down for 30 minutes straight, up and down, since morning, since 8 a.m., up and down, going here and there, until, in fact, we hit around 9 p.m., 9:30 this night. Okay. It's already after 12. Last night, we ate by 9:30. So I said, let me just sleep for 30 minutes. And I was afraid to sleep because I knew the way my body was weary. If I delve in, it may be until 2 a.m. before I now wake up and say, oh my goodness, we've missed tonight's session. Can we give thanks to God for these 5 days of learning at his feet? These 5 days of gaining mileage because of the days that are ahead. Thank you, blessed Holy God. Thank you, Almighty God. Living waters, living stream, blessed spirit, take over me. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Can we begin to call upon the name of God? Lord, fill us again. Help us to remain filled. Anxiety, lack of faith, those are the things that deplete our being filled in the Holy Ghost. Because we become mindful of the things of men rather than the things of God. We receive empowerment, and before you know it, every one of those empowerments, we are depleted of them. Living waters, living stream, blessed spirit, take over me. The Lord God will help us to labor until we are empowered in the place of prayer. Can we begin to call upon God?
give you thanks.
That God will help you to labor until you are empowered, until you are, until you've received power, until you've received power. Not from above, but from within, from within, from within, from within. So that you will not abscond from the place of prayer when there is still a building up to the appointed time, to the point of encounter. Ah. Living water, living stream, blessed spirit, take over.
Thank you, Father. We thank you, Lord God.
Blessed. You made trenches for you in our. We make paths for you in our land. In River State, sent for. We dig trenches for you in our heart. We make paths for you in our land, in Nigeria. Sent one, sent forth, sent forth. He said, you preach the gospel with the Holy Ghost sent forth from heaven. That was where I got that word. Sent forth. Help us to remain filled. Help us not to bind us strong in the place of prayer so that we don't abscond until we are endued with power. Straighten our twisted mind so we don't spend our days solving problems instead of being mindful of the things that are of the kingdom. We're a lover of your presence. We're a lover of your presence. We're a lover of your presence. Lord, I'm with you to the end of the world. Help us to remain filled so we can be sufficient witness of thou Christ, of Christ thy Son resurrected from the dead, the peak of his Holy Ghost experience. So that we'll not get out there and then we'll be making excuses that, it is true Jesus raises the dead, but time has changed, you know, so that you will not get out there and then you'll be making excuses. We are a lover of your presence. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Also, can we present as a ministry our objective for the year 2025 before the Lord? I believe you've read through it. Well, I had to go through it today again. Can you present someone's own on his behalf before God? And the Lord God will look upon it and bring those objectives to pass according to his predestination for that vessel. Not that God should come and fulfill the thoughts of that person's mind, no, but according to predestination. Because even if that person's objective fails, the Bible says all things work together for they that love God and are called according to his purpose. And according to the predestination of God, which is the purpose of God for that vessel, that God will bring those things to pass. If what he needs is the fulfillment of two, and not all of them at once, then that is the kind of answers to prayer that we want. Not devil, not Satan answering prayer for us. We're a lover of your presence. Do I Yahweh, Alpha and Omega? You are Yahweh, Alpha and Omega. You are Yahweh, Alpha and Omega. I will not make excuse for Jesus. You are Yahweh, Alpha and Omega. Help us to remain filled. Look upon our objective for the year 2025. You answered us in time past, and we are confident that you will hear us again if we call upon thy name, O God, in the name of Jesus Christ, thy beloved, of whom you testified, saying, hear ye him. In Jesus' name, we pray.
Amen.
Can we pray for one another tonight, finally? Father, Lord, cause these ones to prosper. Cause this one to make exploit in you. Cause this one, cause your face to shine upon this one. You will mention that person's name in your heart so that the person will not know you are praying for me. Cause your face to shine upon the life of this one. The life of this one. The life of that 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 one. We call upon thy name, O God. My Jesus is praying for me. Jesus is praying for me. Well, I don't know how to sing the song, but the point I want to make is to humble myself, is to humble me. If my prayer is answered, it's because he prayed it for me first before I prayed. For we have an high priest with the Father, which is the apostle of our soul, and none other but the person of Christ Jesus, who standeth before God day and night, offering sacrifice, burning incense continually for mankind, and for those that are called the heirs of salvation. Jesus is, I don't know about you, but Jesus is praying for me. That's why my prayer is answered. Jesus is praying for me. And I know Jesus is praying for you too. Thank you, blessed Holy God. Thank you, Almighty God. In Jesus' name, we pray. Can you just pick a song and just sing a song to the Lord? Tonight has been wonderful. These 5 days has been powerful. These 5 days has been powerful. Has been powerful. How you, Lord God, Almighty.
We thank you. Thank you, Moses. Thank you, blessed one.
I'm singing my own. Amen. In Jesus' name, we worship. Almighty God, we say thank you for these 5 days. Thank you for the things that you've taught us. We pray that you help us to keep those things to heart in this season, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Help us to profit from the words that we've heard and the things we have been taught, the encounters that our spirit has received, the impartation that has come upon our spirit in this time, oh God, in Jesus' name. Thank you, blessed Holy God. Thank you, because the Holy Ghost that you have given unto us, in it you have ordained unto us glory. For Apostle Paul said, for I reckon the things of the present time are not to be compared to the glory that will be revealed in us. In that Holy Ghost, there is an ordination for glory. There is an ordination for better things. Mighty God, we say thank you. Bless be your holy name, O God. Alagbara mo moruko re. Alagbara mo moruko re. Mighty God, we say thank you. Blessed be your holy name, O God. In Jesus' name, we pray.
Amen.
All right. This is the end of tonight's session. You can bring the recording to an end. I want to especially give thanks to God for everyone that have made out time to be here tonight. I pray that the good Lord will bless you all. In the name of Jesus.